Hi, I'm Graham. I've been playing Guild Ball since just before season two, and I've been playing Brewers almost exclusively throughout season three. Only three games with other guilds? Yeah, three games with other guilds so far.
Times were tough, so I sold my soul. And I don't think I'll ever regain control.
Hey, heroic players. Max isn't with us tonight, so this is Andy, and what I'm doing is I'm taking his position. So with us tonight we've got our usual Mark.
Hello.
And we've asked Graham, one of our local Brewers players, to get involved as well.
Hello.
Awesome. So our last podcast, we spoke about the Alchemists a bit and what me and Mark thought about them. Tonight we are going to speak a bit about the Brewers Guild, hence why we've got Graham in as our right as somebody who's been playing a lot of Brewers recently. So I guess the first bit to start with is, Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Brewers, right, in terms of fluff, right, you know, who are they, what are they about?
Yeah, cool. So the Brewers are the Brewers Guild, so they brew alcohol, and their general structure from what I've gathered is that it's based on the different sort of brewing houses and the different breweries. So like Tapper comes from, he's like the master brewer from one sort of distillery or brewing house. And then you've got like Esther's, who represents a different distillery, brewery, whatever you want to call it. And effectively, dependent on which distillery is kind of in favour with the powers that be, are a more influential force in Guild Ball, in effect. So obviously, we saw that Tapper's sort of distillery was sort of the original one. And then Esther's one has sort of become more to the front. The Brewers are, or a lot of their background seems to involve around sitting in pubs and drinking and punching people. And they've got quite a dark side as well. Like there's one bit of story, I think it is in season one, where the Brewers are playing the Masons, and the Brewers players all start passing, like the Brewers supporters all start passing shivs round, and then they, as the Masons win the game, the Brewers sort of supporters have started a fire in the Masons stands, and go and start shanking a load of Mason supporters. So it's proper like this is England dark football riots kind of
football
side of it,
kind of thing.
Yeah. So
Millwall,
they're
Crystal
not the
Palace,
nicest
circa
people.
80s.
Yeah, it's not the nicest sort of feeling. And then they've got, they don't call it tartan, they call it something else. I can't remember the word for it now. The Kut, maybe, like KUTTE or something like that, which is their sort of their colours in effect. And they, you get awarded to wear the tartan, I suppose we may as well just call it for this, and then they can strip it from you. And in the season three stuff, Hooper has to take the tartan away from one of the sort of girls who's part of the guild because she's upset Esther's, basically, even though he doesn't necessarily agree with it. So they've got kind of a very sort of clan, almost you could describe it as a bit like a mafia kind of feel, like you're, if you were, you may as well be a dead man kind of thing, because the guild doesn't look out for you anymore.
Fair enough. Anything to add there, Graham?
No, I have to admit, I'm not that much into the fluff side of things.
Shame. Sherwin, don't listen to the nasty man. Right.
It's mostly because I've not picked up the season one rule book yet. I will get to it eventually.
Yeah, no, it's fair play. So, for me, I think I remember, like, Expo 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago now. Three expos ago when I got introduced to Guild Ball, and I was there with my mate Andy, and they were introduced to me by Rich Loxham as being somewhere between like a Scottish clan and the dwarves. And dwarves. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sounds fairly apt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty bruisey. So I suppose that brings us to kind of what's the play style like of the team? Graham, why don't you tell us a little bit about the play style of the Brewers?
Yeah, sure. So the Brewers are, well, they're brawlers. They like to get you into a scrum, and then the only way you get out is by going off the pitch. They like to knock you down, they like to shove you around, and then they really like to put the boot in. They have got a couple of like striker types, but if you're looking at a footballing game, they do it in a very different way and in quite a rigid setup.
Okay. All right. Mark, anything to add to that?
I think they're a very reliable, kind of solid team. Like, you can play sort of a more traditional sort of season one-ish lineup and field a lot of tough hide, two-inch melee players. But I think that sort of team can be very... static, not static.
Linear.
It's one dimensional. It's linear. You are telegraphing what you're going to do because it's very much Tapper has like six influence. Tapper is going to try and murder somebody. Hooper has three influence. Hooper is going to try and murder somebody. It's quite straightforward with that. Whereas with Esther's now, she brings a lot more flexibility and a more dynamic sort of play style. She can change it up quite a bit. She can make people go faster. So while they're still very sort of like, we will fight you until you lose this fight, they do it in a different way. She can extend threat ranges. She can make them harder to hit. That makes them survive longer in the fight. She's much more of a flexible captain. And she's not that much of a slouch herself in terms of having a fight and kicking the ball about.
Cool. So what I'm taking from that is the play style of the Brewers is that they like to get into a fight, right? They like to put people on the floor.
Yep.
They like to take them off the pitch. So would you say you're looking at one goal and two takeout and four takeouts, or would you think like two and two?
Probably 4-1 is you'd be quite happy doing that with Brewers, but quite equally you can play for 2-2 as well, I would have thought.
Yeah.
My general plan is to go in aiming for 4-1. If I can see an opportunity to make it 2-2, brilliant.
Yeah.
But going with the plan of 4-1 to start with.
That's fair enough. Okay, then. So I suppose that brings me to my next question quite nicely. Right, like one of Max's questions that he asked us last time is this a guild you would suggest to a new player? Now that's kind of a strange question because, like you know, like I've been demoing it all weekend, right? You know, with the kickoff set, and they're in the kickoff set, so it kind of says to me that they probably are. But what are you guys' thoughts around that?
Yes, I would say they are an easy team to start with. They are very forgiving because of their resilience. And if you're coming from any sort of wargaming background where it's models meet in the middle of the pitch and kick the crap out of each other, they can do that. And then as you develop, you can start sort of understanding how scoring a goal works and manufacturing goals when they're not that, you know, because effectively I think scoring a goal is the is probably one of the more difficult things to learn with Guild Ball as a brand new player, because you are, it's a lot of moving parts that all ride on one thing, and if it doesn't work, then you've got nothing out of it. Whereas if you'd have spent your influence and your time punching people, you'd have damage marked on cards, so you'd see a result for it. So yes, they are an easy-ish team to play because they can fight, but they've got, I think they've got quite a gradual, nice sort of sloped learning curve where they've got an easy entry, and you will get, the more you play them, the better you will get with them, because you'll learn like the different synergies, and they've got a lot of synergies which you can then start to build as you get more experience with the team.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, Graham, you were playing, when I met you, you were kind of Mason's Alchemists.
Yeah, sort of season thing. Two I was.
Yeah, season two. And then you've kind of moved over to Esther's predominantly, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Esther's as a new player. If you're a new player coming into Guild Ball, right, you know, you bought your... maybe you've bought Kickoff, or you've bought the box set, or you bought something like that, right? But you've decided, do you know what? I'm not going to play Tapper. I'm going to play Esther's. Is that equally as easy to pick up, would you say?
New player-wise? Maybe not quite as easy, but it's simple enough for Esther's. She's... The reason I liked Esther's is because you can put 5 influence on her most of the time, and she will be doing something. She might run off and score a goal because she's buffed up her speed. She might pass on the ball for a snapshot. She might just go in and wail on someone. She's got Gluttonous Mass, which is great, because if you win the initiative and decide to go and wail on someone, they can't do anything about it. They can buy a counterattack, proc a Gluttonous Mass, and she'll just keep on going.
Yep.
She's got a 3-6 kick, which is not amazing, but it would get the goals scored if she's up there. And she's got, unlike Tapper, she does stuff from range. She's got the long-range character plays, Blast Earth to put people in rough ground, and Fire Blast to get people on fire. If you get them both on someone, that's -4/-4 move. You can take models out of the game. Not actually take them out, take outs. Just get some of those slower captains.
Yeah.
Get it on Corsair, get it on Tapper, get it on Hammer, and they might go, oh, well, that's my stack of 6 influence doing nothing this turn. Thanks.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah.
Good stuff. I had... okay, so just for anybody who's listening who isn't aware, right, we've mentioned a few times about Esther's buffing her speed and this, that, and the other. Just talk us through... like Esther's and how she does that.
Sure. So it's one of her character traits is once per turn on her activation, she can give a buff to either herself or a friendly guild model, so not Union. And it's one of 3 buffs she can give out, either speed, which is +2/+2 move, strength for +1 damage to playbook damage results, or agility for +1 defense. I love the versatility of this. You do it on her activation, so depending when you activate her in a turn, if you activate at the start and you want to destroy someone, you go for the strength. If you get a bit ropey in the scrum or someone's exposed, you give them +1 defense. If you're going for that goal, you go for the extra speed. She's also got her legendary play, which means you get to do this 3 times in that turn instead of the once.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice indeed.
So with the legendary, it's worth noting that you can use Empowered Voice, and you could put all 3 effects on the same model. So if Esther's really needed to get a shift on and beat the crap out of somebody, she could use her legendary and give herself +2 move, +1 defense, and +1 to damage on playbook damage results. Or she could go herself, Hooper, and Spigot, for example, and give them all +1 damage, or spread any combination of those 3 around. So you don't have to just use... It's not like you can... On the legendary, you give out speed, you give out strength, and you give out agility. You can give out any combination of those things.
Basically, you can superstar someone, can't you? Pretty much.
Yeah.
It was very common I'd end up giving someone +2 move to get them in somewhere and damage, and Esther's herself damage.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose the natural question from that is, right, and Mark, this is one for you to start off with, and then I'll go to you, Graham. So what would you suggest would be a good beginning lineup for Brewers?
Beginning lineup, so a six-man team, or are we talking a ten-man?
Yeah, no, six-man we'll come to tournaments in a minute, but like the six players, which are going to give you the best chance of learning, kind of what the Brewers do. I'm a brand new player. Off I go.
Okay, so I would say the six that are in kickoff. So Tapper, Scum, Friday, Hooper, Spigot. And then you would have Stave, but I would probably suggest swapping Stave out for somebody like Stoker.
Okay.
All right. And I think that's a fairly straightforward, easy to play six man team, and you will get, there's a lot of synergy between those six players. So you will get a lot of, like, those six players will all work well together. You've got like Spigot and Friday, who are a really good combination to try and get you some goals and to keep possession of the ball. You've got Hooper and Tapper, who are absolute beat sticks, who will just murder anybody that they touch. And then Stoker, as his role is a defensive midfielder, he does really well in that centre field, sort of lighting people on fire and holding, sort of acting as like an anchor in the middle of the field as well.
Okay, and just before I go to Graham, why would you swap out Stave?
He's garbage.
Okay.
In a really, I don't like calling people bad in Guild Ball because I think everybody has a place, but I find that Stave will give your opponent much more benefit than he will give you generally.
Fair play.
In the current sort of game meta, in whatever the state of the game as it stands at the moment, I think Stave gives your opponent much more benefit than he gives you. His range knockdown is really, really powerful, and the fact that it's an AoE and a push can, like, to totally disrupt your opponent's activation. But unfortunately, I feel that being a 1-inch melee zone with defense 2 and armor 0 and tough hide means that your opponent can just rinse him for momentum. Because effectively, those players that have got 2 momentous damage quite happily are doing 1 to him, which means he just stays alive longer so they can just generate more momentum from him.
Okay. Fair play. So so our advice would be, for your lineup, is go with the kickoff box set, ditch Stave as soon as possible, put Stoker in.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so Graham, what do you reckon?
I reckon Stave is really rubbish.
Okay. I'm not hearing a lot of love for Stave right now.
Stave is only a 1-3 influence. Just to add that final nail in the coffin, he's not even bringing 2 influence to your team.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, new players. Go for kickoff. It's a brilliant box set. Get rid of Stave. I would put in Mash, but Stoker is absolutely fine as an alternative. Either one of those, I think, is brilliant.
Okay, so why would you put in Mash?
Because Mash, I was using... The way I used to use Mash didn't work for me. I'd try and send him up. So I'll talk about why. He's got volley threat. So while he's within 8 inches of the enemy goalpost, he spends 1 less momentum to make a snapshot.
Okay.
So you want him up the field within 8 inches of the enemy enemy goalpost.
Mm-hmm.
He's only got a 6-inch kick.
Okay.
He's got super shot, so that means you need to activate Mash early, keep him near the enemy goal, get super shot up, not get him pushed away. There's a bit to juggle there, and I could never get it right. People can, and he does work brilliantly for those people. It just didn't suit my playstyle. On the other hand, Mash is a big guy. He's on a 40mm base, and he's got unpredictable movement. So once per turn, when an enemy model ends an advance in his melee zone, he makes a 2-inch dodge with a 2-inch melee. Mash is great for holding the ball just behind your line. So you give the ball to Mash, you've got either Estes or Tapper, you've got Hooper, you've got Spigot maybe, just floating around as his defenders. If they want to try and get the ball off Mash, they've either got to run through one of those guys, not going to happen, dodge through one of those guys, brilliant, they've then wasted their dodge and Mash is probably going to get a counter-attack, or try and find some other way to get in there, which is possible. You can have like Shark Orb just dodging around players to get in, but it takes a lot of work. And what I've generally found is when they're trying to do that sort of janky play, they run out of influence.
Yeah.
Right. So for a... Because that's interesting, because I'd never thought of him like that. So Mash as somebody to sit kind of behind Hooper and Tapper, for example, or Estes.
Yep.
Somebody just to sit behind there with the ball. Right. Interesting.
And hold on to it till you need it.
Until you want to get it up the pitch. Score. So to add on to that, he's got protected Estes. So if he's within 4 inches of Estes, which in this plan he is, he's not three defense armor one, he's three defense armor two.
Right.
Could well be four defense armor two if Estes is activated. Why not?
Yeah.
If you start going through his playbook, he's got a push on one, a double push on two, and a tackle on two, and a house out on three, which is a 4-inch push and a knockdown. If they come in and do get to make an attack on him to try and get the ball, he's either going to shove them back into the tackle zones of someone else. Sorry, a melee zone, not level. So they've then got to try and get out of, say, Mash and Tapper's melee. Or even better, Mash, Tapper, and Hooper.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all got decent knockdowns. Well,
yeah,
maybe not behind two those for Mash. Yeah, Tapper's got it on two. Hooper's got it on three.
Three, yeah.
No, absolutely. Brilliant.
Yeah. That's how I've been using Mash, and it's worked quite well. So quite often, I end up letting them score the first goal so I can then kill that ball on Mash.
Yeah, seems reasonable. Okay, so in answer to, new player coming in, what I've got is... I'll quickly ask you guys, right? Who do you think's the easier captain to play if you're a brand new player? Tapper or Estes?
Tapper.
Yeah.
Not by much, but Tapper.
Tapper, okay.
So
essentially what we're saying is, new players, if you like the idea of the Brewers, your kick-off lineup of Tapper, Scum, Friday, Spigot, Hooper, are absolutely superb. Drop Stave, right, and as soon as you can, put in Mash or Stoker.
Yeah. Or if you like him, Pint Pot wouldn't be a terrible addition.
Yeah.
In that place. If you like the model.
No, yeah. He's got some interesting stuff, but I think with his, the rules interactions around Rowdy and remembering things like your beer tokens makes him a little bit more complicated. So for a starting player, probably Mash or Stoker is probably a bit more of a easy... straightforward kind of thing to use.
Yeah, if you're going to follow my plan, you just get Mash behind your line, give him the ball, and he can just wait. That's fine. You can kind of forget about him.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, that's awesome. Okay, so let's imagine now that we've been playing Brewers for a little while, right, where we're getting reasonable with them, which incidentally was never a thing that happened with me. and then it's true, I was rubbish with Brewers. So what we'll do is... Graham, why don't you give us who are the 10 players you take to a tournament and why?
I've got 9 and then an option slot, which I just mess around with.
Okay.
So we'll go with both captains,
mm-hmm.
Tapper and Estes, because they're both solid. We go Scum for the mascot, because I like Quaff. He's great, but he's not that good. And the cat just is awesome.
Yeah. Why is Scum so good? Actually, do you know what?
I'll finish the 10 first. Yeah.
Scum.
I would always take Friday in my list.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I'm not that practiced with Vet Spigot yet, but you need the range goal threat. We have original Spigot and Hooper. Mash, as I've just said.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have veteran Spigot and Harry the Hat. and I think he's a little bit of a trap. I don't actually end up running him that often, but we'll go into that. And for my 10th slot, I bounce between either Stoker, who I absolutely adore, but I really struggled to find his space, or Pint Pot.
Okay. Okay, then. So, Mark, what do you reckon?
Quite similar. Mine is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I've got the right number of players there.
Wait, who else?
Esters, Tapper, Scum, Friday, Hooper, Pint Pot, both Spigots, Stoker, and Harry the Hat.
Did you say...
That was
the
same,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, did you say Hooper in that?
Yeah,
cool. All right, great. Okay, so let's talk about, right, you know.
So you talk about Tapper a bit. We've not really met, we've done Esters, but not Tapper.
Yeah, okay. So I tell you what, let's go through that. Let's go through that then. Right, so yeah, we've talked about Esters a lot, right, and her synergy and stuff like that. We've talked about Mash a bit as well, right?
I just realised we've missed a little bit of Esters. We've missed her heroic play, so I'll just cover that quickly.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
So Esther's is a heroic play. Heroic plays are a feature for the guild. I think everyone bar Mash has one.
Yeah, sounds right.
So for Esther's, it's a 3-inch pulse. Friendly models within a pulse remove any conditions currently on them. This is why I'll take Esther's into Alchemists.
Yeah.
And I've not actually played Engineers Season 3, but if I know they're doing Ballista, definitely into Ballista-led Engineers.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
She's a larger lady on a 40mm base. 3 inches going out from there. Removes conditions off herself and all friendly guild models. Sorry, is it guild?
Super awesome.
Sorry, friendly models. So that will affect Harry. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's excellent, isn't it?
If they're doing a condition game, you can just stop it dead.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay then, so Esther's, to be honest, I like playing Esther's as well. I'm shite with her, but I enjoy it. Right. So let's talk then about Tapper, right? The main man, season one captain. Right. So, Mark, why don't you tell us a bit about Tapper?
He is a little bit on the slow side, but he kind of makes up for that by having access to mark target and 2-inch melee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 4-7. He's got a 5-long playbook with tactics, so shorter playbooks tend to be a brewer thing.
Right.
And he's also got commanding aura, which can give friendly models within the 4-inch aura +1 tac and +1 damage. So effectively, he can be tac 7 with a 5-long playbook, which means that he can wrap quite happily. He's got really good, easy access to a knockdown. He's got fairly easy access to a 1-inch push. And he's got 1 damage on 1 and 2 damage on 2, 3 damage on 4. So what you'll find is that Tapper will probably go in, knock somebody down, get commanding aura up, do some damage, and then we'll set somebody up for Hooper to come in and sweep and clear. I think what it is Tapper sort of sets somebody up and Hooper finishes them off generally. He's an 18 health model with tough hide, which is always pretty solid.
Three 1, 18 boxes, tough hide, not bad. I mean, like, we're obviously doing like last year when me and you were at Expo, and we did a lot of demos with Shark and Ox. This year we were doing them all with Masons versus Brewers from Kickoff.
Yeah.
Right. And we were literally going Tapper kicks off. Right. Honor does shenanigans. She pops her legendary. She she does
superior strategy on Harmony. Harmony
swags up, gets the ball, passes to Harmony. Harmony takes a linked, goes up, right, great, goes to Tapper. Tapper puts up commanding aura, right, goes in, knocks over Honor, puts another two shots into her, right, who cares what that is. Harmony scores, and then Hooper just annihilates whatever Honor gets, you know, whatever Honor's got left was plus two damage from the commanding aura and his shove the boot in ability. It's absolutely devastating if that goes.
Generally when my Hooper's attacking someone on the floor, he does 9 damage for 1 influence,
which is outstanding. Yeah, he's also got a hell of a heroic play as well.
Anyway, we're talking about Tapper.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, go on then.
Who also has a hell of a heroic play, which is Old Jake's. So he basically generates some momentum, which he quite happily does with a knockdown or a push or some damage. And then he can immediately allocate 2 influence between other friendly guild models within 6 inches.
Yep.
So that allows the Brewers under Tapper to have a bit of an element of surprise to them, because you could all of a sudden allocate 2 influence to Friday when she didn't have any, and now she's a goal threat. Or you could have only given 1 to, say, Spigot, because you weren't sure what the situation was going to be and you might not have wanted to give him some. But all of a sudden, Tapper's knocked somebody down and got commanding aura up. So if you give Spigot 2, he can charge. And, you know, tack 4 or tack 5 up to... He goes up to silly numbers when people are knocked down on the floor. So he's tack 5. He goes up to 9 for the charge, plus 2 because they're floored, plus another 1 for commanding aura, plus another 1 because they're engaged by a mate. And then all of a sudden, you've got, like, Spigot doing the world's worth of damage.
And
that's not a 4 long playbook.
So he can sort of, it's almost like a dirty trick is what it feels like. Like, you can generally, you'll expect, unless, you know, you're Graham, you'll expect Tapper to use Old Jake's like every turn.
This sounds like an in-joke that I just missed.
I'm yet to use Old Jake's in season 3. I've been with Tapper, I just forget to use Old Jake's, which is doing Tapper wrong. There's no 2 ways around it.
But yeah, so you will generally see him give out 2 influence to somebody that might not have looked as dangerous as they were before, and all of a sudden they've got that much more potential.
Okay then, so do you reckon we've covered Tapper there?
Pretty much. The only thing that we've got is if the cat's within 4 inches of him in the maintenance phase, he gets an influence cap of 6 instead of 5.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Which brings me... Oh, go on then.
For the Fluff fans, there's a captain being advised by a cat. How much more of a drunkard could he get?
Yep. Which brings me nicely to, right, neither of you in your 10 are taking... Quaff, you're both taking Scum. So talk us through why Scum is your number one pick, Graham.
Well, I'll start by talking about Quaff, because I've used Quaff in 90% of my games, and then I tried Scum out.
Right.
And Quaff is decent. Scum is just excellent. So Quaff is not a bad mascot, but Scum is just astounding.
Right.
So he's got shadow-like and unpredictable movement. So at the start of his turn, he can make a 2-inch dodge. So he's while his move is 6-8, it's actually more like 8-10.
Yep.
With unpredictable movement, if you've got a 1-inch melee, you're not catching him. He's got a 5-0 defense, so he can be used to kill the ball. Not as well as Mash, in my opinion, but he can be.
Right.
Or he could be used to retrieve the ball quite quickly. But where he really shines is he's got tack 4, he's got a Mentus 2 damage on 2, and he's got that 10-inch threat on the charge, 1-inch melee. So if Tapper has knocked someone down and got Commanding Aura up and Scum charges, He's tac 4, goes up to 8 for the charge, goes up to 9 for commanding aura, 10 for the crowd out, say 11 for bonus time or another mate. On a 3 long playbook, he's doing Mentus 2 up to 3 damage because of commanding aura on 2 successes. Yeah. And he will wrap a lot.
Yeah, so you're quite likely to see the cat do, say, 6 to 9 damage on a charge, which nobody expects from a
tiny house cat.
Yeah. Like, Fahad, maybe, because it's a, you know, like a massive panther thing. Sure, yeah. You know, like dirty tabby cat kind of thing. You don't really expect that.
Oh, you know how? Yeah, go on.
You know how we're just talking about Tapper giving out 2 influence to someone that had none? All of a sudden, that cat's charging where you weren't expecting it.
Yep. Scummer's ruined my day on more than one occasion. Right, yeah.
Not my scum. My scum always whiffs the charge.
All right. Oh, okay. Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So, we're saying that Scum, with his unpredictable movement, Shadow Like, Death 5, you know, and Momentous 2 on 2, right, is basically a stone cold killer. So when, like Graham, when would you take Quaff?
For friendlies, I wouldn't put him in my tournament 10.
Okay.
I mean, Quaff's good. He's got bag of Quaffers. He's got a push on 1, double push on 2, and that's just a 2 long playbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did once spoil Mark's day when Scalpel came in. Voodoo Dolls, Voodoo Strings Quaff in, bought an attack to, I think it was a momentous push, 1 damage and push dodge, and my counter attack hit with everything and just shoved Scalpel away.
Yeah.
And then he had Scalpel sat there, not able to do much, well, at least not able to get the ball off Quaff.
Yep.
You can bag a Quaff as himself. Well, you bag a Quaff as a friendly non captain within 4 inches on his activation to get +1 attack. So you can get him charging. With TAC 4, because of bag of Quaffers, so that's up to TAC 8 with a momentous push on 1, double push on 2, and if you're lucky, you can get someone shoved off the pitch.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, or you can leave somebody stranded further away than what they wanted to be.
Yeah, I did do it to another Brewers player, to his Hooper, just kept shoving him away.
Mm. Yeah.
And Hooper's slow.
No, fair enough. So, moving on from the cat then, right, the next thing I want to just kind of talk about quickly is, you guys have talked, Mark mentioned it briefly, is the relationship between Spigot and Friday. Right, Mark, what makes that such a effective team-up?
So, football legend on Spigot's card, which is when within 4 inches, friendly guild model.
He's guild, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say. Get +1/+1 kick. So Friday goes to a 4/9 kick before doing anything else, which is really good. She gets +1 defense while within 4 inches of Spigot. So she goes to defense 5, armor 1, which again is really, really reliable. And keeps her quite safe from damage. And then she's got Shoot Better After a Beer, which gives her a +1/+2 kick as a heroic play. And during a parting blow, she gets +1 defense. So potentially she's defense 6 with 1 armor versus parting blows. So she can quite comfortably walk away from somebody with the ball, if they, as long as they've not got like a tackle on 1 success probably. And then like jogs off and scores. She is quite resilient to parting blows though, I would suppose, because she's got Shadow Likes. If she starts in melee at the start of her activation, she can dodge out again. But yeah, they work well as a team because he's just a force multiplier on her as a striker, basically.
Because, I mean, did you just mention Spigot's heroic play there? Or
nope.
I didn't, no. No, Graham, that's another thing.
Yeah, Graham, just talk us through, like, you know, the because you mentioned earlier the heroic plays were like a part of the Brewer makeup.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so just quickly talk us through, like, you know, Friday and Spigot, heroic plays, how they mesh together and stuff like that.
Spigot doesn't specifically mesh with Friday. It meshes with the entire team. His is called Times Called. When a friendly guild model starts in advance within this aura, they get +2/+2 move. So we spoke about Tapper being slow. He's a 4/7 move. Now he's 6/9. That's highly respectable. That's brilliant. The whole team is on the slower side. Stoker's a 4/7. Hooper's a 4/7. Friday and Scum and Quaff aren't. They're all fast, but he can get the whole team moving up.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why they are a slightly slower base team.
Yeah,
because of Spigot. Like, if they were all like 6/8s or, you know, faster team, it would be horrendous. So it is. It's a design. Thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's
part of what makes original Spigot such a toolbox that it's a real pain swapping him out for veteran Spigot.
Yeah, so while we talk about him being a toolbox, I suppose, he's obviously bringing Football Legend, which we've spoken about. Mm-hmm. He's bringing Times Called as a heroic play, which we've spoken about. And the other thing that he brings as well, which makes him, again, a force multiplier, is Tooled Up. So friendly guild model gains +1 damage to character plays that cause damage and playbook damage results. So what you start to notice is when you look at things like Commanding Aura that gives +1 damage, Tooled Up that gives +1 damage.
Esther's song.
Esther's giving out her Song of Strength for +1 damage.
Yeah.
Somebody like Hooper,
yep,
who gets +1 damage when they're on the floor.
Or even
all of
Stoker
these things
when
start
are on fire.
Fire, yeah. You know, all of these things start to add together. And then, as Graham said, like, Hooper's quite capable of doing sort of 9 damage on one swing. And all of these factors just add into that why.
Yeah.
And what we've spoken about a lot is in our sort of local group is that sometimes it's hard to take veteran Spigot over normal Spigot, but also Brewers don't necessarily want union players all the time because they've got a very, very strong stable of players themselves.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of their buffs don't work with Union.
Yeah, a lot of things are all friendly guild now rather than friendly.
Well, the big captain ones, Commanding Aura doesn't work with it. Esther's Song doesn't work with it. And Spigot's Tooled Up doesn't work with it. And Football Legend doesn't work with it.
Yeah.
I quite like that as a design feature.
What do I you do guys too.
Think? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've kind of got back to that. You know, it frustrated me a bit in season one when you had like for example Midas, Flask, and then like four, like, you know, like maybe
Union players when it was like Miss, Decimate, Hemlock, and
Vitriol,
Vitriol, pretty much.
It was like, oh, what really? You know, so yeah, you know, pretty crazy. Okay then. Awesome. So we've kind of covered the basics there, which I'm really pleased about. We've covered Mash, Esther's, Tapper, Scum, Friday, Spigot, blah, blah, blah. Right. So Vet Spigs, what's the deal with him?
So Vet Spigot is Spigot gone sober. So he's no longer trying to shove people with broken bottles. He's trying to score goals.
Okay.
And he
Spoilers.
Can do it.
Spoilers.
Sorry, yeah.
To be fair, if you haven't read the fluff by now,
you can see it on the model. Yeah. He's literally standing over, kicked over a crate of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't deal damage anymore. So original Spigot has Momentous 3 damage on 3. Veteran Spigot at best has 1 damage. Still Momentous, but 1 Momentous on 3. He's got a knockdown on 4. That's the thing, a feature for the guild. I think pretty much everyone apart from Friday and the mascots have knockdowns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they all do, actually. So he has got a knockdown on 4, but you're probably not going to be using him for that.
Yeah.
What veteran Spigot can do is he can take a shot on goal without any influence on him.
Yep.
That's his heroic play. Back
utterly,
to his best.
Utterly bent. Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, brilliant. Outstanding.
Fair and balanced.
Strong
and
stable.
Hey, so he's still supposed to hit.
What? Yeah.
He's no seasoned brisket with her.
Yeah.
I score on 2s.
Yes. Yeah. No, definitely not.
Snapshot. But, yeah, he's good. So Vetsbigot has a lot of things where if he has the ball, he gets better.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically. So he's got match fit, which is while in possession of the ball marker, gets plus mm-hmm. two, plus two move. So that puts him on a 7-10 move.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his heroic play back to his best is this defense, and while in possession of the ball marker, may spend one influence to make... while in possession of the ball marker, this model may make a kick without spending influence.
Right, okay.
He's got close control,
yep.
which is really good considering he's got a momentous tackle on one success.
He's also got balls gone on too, if they've got a close control, but both Spigots do. Yeah. And that works around close control.
Yeah, because they just lose possession of the ball. It's not a tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Vetsbigot brings a real goal threat that the Brewers didn't have before.
There's something else he brings that only one other Brewers player does, and that is dodges on his playbook.
Okay.
They are non-momentous. He's got one damage and a push dodge on three, and a tackle and a double dodge on four.
Oh, the holy grail. Tackle and double dodge.
If it was momentous, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'd say. It's not like Decimate, is it? Holy grail?
No.
Right.
Although I think, for me, there's a new holy grail of playbook results. But
what's that?
One damage and a double dodge.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know...
Like Blackheart, like Honor.
Yeah,
love that Honor.
Yeah, yeah. Right, you know.
Tackling and double dodge, still pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, then, so I suppose that leaves us with one last player to talk about, right, and that is Pint Pot.
Go on. We've covered him previously a little bit on where it was Pick a Dream Team.
Yeah.
We can go into a bit more depth on him now that we're actually talking about Brewers.
I wasn't going to do Stoker, because if you want Stoker, Mark wrote a really good article on Stoker, and although it was for season two, it's still relevant for season three. It's on our website. Check it out.
Yeah. Cool. And if anything, he only got better from season two to season three. So I loved him in season two when I was playing Brewers a lot. Yeah. He only got better in my opinion.
Yeah, so last but not least then, Graham, talk us through a bit of Pint Pot action.
So Pint Pot's our new player. He's a bit trickier, as Mark commented. So he doesn't get help from other players to beat people up, and he doesn't get crowded out by the enemy team to beat people up. So he's tack 6, and you think he's going to stay that way. He does get help from Commanding Aura. He can get help from Bag of Quaffers. He can bonus time it, so he can go up to best tack 8, 12 if he wants to charge.
Mm-hmm. Things like singled out as well affect him, and defense below 0 and all of that kind of stuff he still benefits from. It's purely crowding out and ganging up that he ignores.
Right.
So his big thing is that he's only 2-2 influence, but he starts the game with a 6-pack. So he gets 6 beer tokens. He could use up to 3 a turn. And when he uses a beer token, he can make an attack without spending influence, use a character play without spending influence, or activate his heroic play without spending momentum.
Okay.
So his heroic play, just go on to that, it's effectively he gets Glutton to Smash. Next time this model is hit by an enemy attack or character player that targets him, except while making an advance, it's ignored. So like Estus, he can go in, activate that, and attack with impunity.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's his... go on. I think you're about to answer that question. Playbook-wise,
you've got a lot of momentum, and he's unusual. He's got low momentous damage. Brewers normally only get that for their momentous 3. He's got momentous 1 and a push on 1, or a non-momentous 1 and a dodge on 2, which is amazing. He can dodge.
Say what?
Okay. This is why I need to experiment with him more. He's got 2 damage and a push momentously on 2, or 2 damage and a dodge non-momentously on 3. He's got a knockdown on 4 or concussion, both those are momentous. He's got a tackle way up on 5 and 3 momentous damage and a push on 5. His character, though, that costs... Well, it costs 2 influence, but you're never going to do that. You're always going to use 6-pack. Is that all models within this model's melee zone suffer 2 damage and the bleed condition.
Wow. That does hurt your mates as well, though.
Yes, it's all models. But bear in mind, he doesn't get crowded out. He can run in, wail on someone, and then just pop that to hurt everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gnarly.
He, I think, Pint Pot is either a really, really good early activation because you've got Come On Then.
Right.
That you can use with beer tokens. So if you've gone first, you can do something with Pint Pot and effectively your opponent can waste their one momentum for a counter attack if they really want to. So it allows you to get the momentum going with little risk of repercussion on Pint Pot. Or he's a good late activation when you can move into the scrum and use smashing face at the end of the turn to put bleed on a load of people so they all take it in the maintenance.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so I feel like we've covered that quite... I think that's pretty good. So we've covered pretty much all the main players, I would say. And I think we've come up with a pretty good kind of tournament 10 there. Tapa Esters, Scum, Friday Spigot, Hooper, Mash, Veteran Spigot, Harry. And then we've got Stoker and Pint Pot kind of filling that last role. I mean, Harry, we've talked about Harry before, right? I'm not going to go into Harry. We all know Hal.
No, we don't need to really go into him.
No.
The one thing I'd say about Harry is what he brings to other teams, mostly you don't need. He's got low momentous pushes and a low momentous knockdown. Brewers have that.
Yeah.
This is why I think Harry could be a trap for Brewer players. He's not bad. He's inspiring. Harry in Hat is still awesome. He's still got Rise and Anger. That's still brilliant. He does put out the damage. He does do the pushes. He does do the knockdowns.
Yeah.
But you can find those things elsewhere apart from the Rising Anger and the Inspiring Hat.
Yeah. So do you think then, Graham, that you need a Union player?
I put him in because people in their tournament 10 see that I've got Harry and they just sit there and go, you got to take Harry. You're going to take Harry. Your fifth pick's going to be Harry. Your sixth pick's going to be Harry. You've not taken Harry. I counted. I planned on that.
I see.
So, yes, I think it goes in there for that reason.
Okay. A bit like the average.
I've generally mostly docked. Yeah. I don't generally take him.
Okay.
Fair.
No, that's fair enough. Right, so, okay then. So I'm just going to flip that on the head very quickly then. Mark, when you're playing against the Brewers, what are you thinking about?
Yep. What am I thinking about playing against the Brewers?
Yeah.
I am thinking about trying not to get bogged down in a scrum with them because I probably won't win it. I am thinking about who the easy targets are, which are Spigot generally. Friday in certain circumstances, Pint Pot probably, Esters if you've got somebody who can, you know, if you've got a way of getting rid of her Gluttonous Mass before you go in. She's got a lot of boxes, but she's not got much in the way of, you know, she's not got much else other than Gluttonous Mass to defend herself. So she can quite easily be targeted. I'm wanting to think about how I can set the field up so that it slows them down. So I will position my players on the other side of rough ground against them. So they've got use momentum to glide. So you're draining resources away from them and stopping them using heroics. Sure. Stuff like that, basically.
Okay, so Graham, I know you're playing Brewers, but let's say you're coming up against, somebody else who's playing Brewers, you know, and you're playing, Masons or Alchemists. What are you thinking?
it's a lot of what Mark said. Get a spigot. Both spigots are victims. 3-1, one inch melee. Mm. If you've got a 2-inch melee, you can just destroy them.
Yeah,
get one of them out. If you've got one of them out, Friday's now 4-1 with just 12 boxes. She'll die as well. Mm-hmm. If you can get to them, they drop. Esther's, as much as I love her, she does go. If you can take out her gluttonous mass, she will fall over quite quickly. Tapper won't.
Yeah.
That tough hide is a massive difference.
Yeah.
If you can dismantle that scrum, brilliant. If you can't, don't go in there. Yeah, they will out scrum you. A few people, a veteran rage can do it, can come back, especially with that Lumen Tortoise. They're slow. The Brewers team are slow. If you can get round them, get the goal in, and then try and get that ball back and get another goal in, when you're on that magic 8 VP moment, everything changes. They've got to play super defensively to stop that third shot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And by that point, you've probably weakened some of the softer players, which mean that you can then probably switch to 2-2 as well.
Yeah,
I think that's covered most things.
Okay, then.
Mostly. There is one trick I would like to mention, and that is both Friday and Scum have momentous push on 2. And where we've talked about sending Scum in, Friday's also got non-momentous 2 damage on 2, so she can kill things, but not momentously. Where we've talked about they all shadow-like, then charge in and murder people. If people have set their team up to be, say, 10 inches away from Tapper, because he's got that lovely 7-inch charge, 2-inch melee, send the cat in and just shove them that extra inch. And all of a sudden, they're crowded out and within Tapper's range, and then Tapper's a very happy boy.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good move. I mean, ultimately, you know, we've spoken about it before, I think the Brewers have got a really solid counter game.
Yeah.
Really solid. Okay, then. Guys, anything else you can think of?
I'm just looking if Max has left us any pointers that we've missed off. No, is the answer. We're good.
I think I've done a reasonable job of being Max.
You have.
Apart from now, what I'll say is, oh my God, fill it. Oh my God, fill it. Fill it. Oh, sad face. There you go.
Right, so I'm going to do my bit now, which is we have one ticket available for Saturday. So hopefully this podcast will probably be out tomorrow, maybe. Yep. So Saturday the 10th at Bravo 1 in Birmingham. If you want to come along, message us via the Heroic Play. We're running a tournament in October, the 21st of October at Bravo 1 in Birmingham. It's a 32-man event. And we have sold 15 tickets so far, so we've got 17 places left. You can find us on the Heroic Play on Facebook, via Twitter at the Heroic Play, and via our website www.theheroicplay.com. Also, we would like to thank Red Beam Designs. They're sending us some swanky prize support for one of the events, depending on when it arrives. It might be for this weekend, or it might be for the event that Luke's planning. But thank you very much for that, you guys at Red Beam. That's lovely. And I think that's it. I think that's all of the things that I'm supposed to be saying.
seems reasonable. I'd just like to say thank you very much, Graham, for giving up your evening to talk to us.
Cheers for inviting me.
No problem. Hopefully, we can get you guys on again. You can get you on again. When we get to Masons, right? You know, you and Rich can have an argument about Masons or something. I don't know.
I think Rich might win that one.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll
back,
that's fine.
Yeah, awesome. Anyway, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.